alone. See, you don't care. But not only do I want you to tell God to leave you alone, but I want you to tell ignorant people to leave you. I'm out of here, but let me just give you a few reasons why you might have to leave me alone. Now, number one, leave me alone unless you can accept my past. Now, don't come in my world telling me what I am and what you could have had, because I am what I am. I can't change my past, but I'm better now than I ever been. So if you can't accept me like I am, then let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. Slap somebody and say, leave me alone. I wish I had a witness here. But then secondly, leave me alone unless you love God more than you love me. I wish I had a witness there. Tell somebody, it ain't just about getting in my bed. It's about getting on your knees with me. Because God is the only thing that's going to keep me from cussing you out and cheating on you and going back to what I used to do. And if you don't love God. I wish I had seven people in this church that as soon as you meet a brother, he'd be like, what's your name? You'd be like, what church you go to? What's your sign? What church you go to? Where were you born? What church do you go to? Because if you ain't got a good church, and I ain't talking about no country bound church, I'm talking about a real church. If you ain't got Jesus in your life, then leave me alone. Somebody shout, leave me alone. I gotta get out of here, but then watch this. Leave me alone unless you are kingdom serious. No, because you must understand that I'm not 16 anymore. I'm not even 21 anymore. I'm not even 25 no more. I'm not a little girl or a little boy. My drama is too serious to hang out with somebody silly. Tell somebody, tell them my stuff is too serious to hang out with silly folk. If you're not ready for the kingdom, if you're not ready to get yourself together, if you're not ready to work on this marriage, if you're not ready to deal with what I come with, then leave me alone. But then last but not least, leave me alone unless your worship is real. Oh, it's about to go crazy in here. Because I don't need somebody playing church. I need somebody that will be the church. Because when I get down on my knees, I need to Shabbat God, and I need to Kada God, and I need somebody that will partner with me. Don't play church, be the church. Slap three people, tell them, leave me alone. I don't know who I'm talking to, but Lord, leave me alone until I love myself. Because until I love myself, I can't really love nobody else right. Now, sometimes I want sex, but it don't mean I'm ready for commitment. Sometimes I want somebody to touch me, but I don't understand they need to speak into me. Because until I get myself right, I'm not going to be no good to nobody else. So, Lord, you know me better than I know myself. And don't you hook me up until I'm ready for somebody.
It's KAYT, Gina Alexandria. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
It's gonna be alright.
It's really gonna be alright.
It's gonna be alright.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin, The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church Radio broadcast already in progress.
To act, because there are some things that you have been taught in the church. There are some things that you've been taught at home, how you should act, how you should behave. And let me tell you something, my brothers and my sisters, if we want to have a happier life in 2024, we're going to have faith in God. We're going to have to believe, and then we're going to have to behave, praise God, ourselves as believers. As believers in Christ Jesus. But the third B that we have in here, not only should we believe and have faith, not only should we behave, praise God. You want to know something else, another B that we ought to have? We ought to beware. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, beware.
Beware.
Amen. Now somebody sitting out there saying, now what in the world? He talking about being where? Someone has said that to be forewarned is to be, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. Oh boy. You see, the Word of God gives us ample warnings, praise God, about being aware of certain and real dangers that confront us in our Christian daily walk. They're out there. And the Bible has pointed them out to us. Praise God. Can I give you just three things that we ought to be aware of? And then I'm going to move on to that fourth one so we can get out of here. It's already 12 o'clock. Praise God. Beware. First of all, we have to beware of the deception of men.
Come on.
Somebody said, let me give you a scriptural text for it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Paul writing to that church that he never even visited. But he said, beware lest any man spoil you through what? Philosophy and vain deceit. After the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. In other words, he's trying to tell you, don't you go out there and start following any and everything that you see. Amen. I spent a lot of time out in YouTube and looking at stuff. And I do that because I need to make sure that I could bring some stuff. If I see some stuff out there that's going on,
that's right,
praise God, I need to come back and forewarn you.
Yeah, that's right,
amen, about the stuff that's going on. Amen. I don't like to call names, but when I see famous television evangelists getting into arguments over some other preacher about certain issues, and they begin to air their laundry in the public, you need to beware of that.
Yeah, that's right, right.
Beware of the deceit, praise God, of men. Because they, man, you got some people that'll sell you down Pembroke Path if you allow them to do that. Praise God. I'm talking about beware. You got to beware of the deception of men. Another thing that we have to beware of, we have to beware of the snares of the devil. Don't y'all know that the devil is cunning?
Yes, he is.
Crafty. Amen. And he's on his job. Thank you. Praise God. 24/7. Let me give you a scripture, man. A scripture, Bible scripture I love. 1 Peter 5:8. Everybody ought to know that scripture. It tells us to be sober. A sober-minded person is somebody who's thinking straight. Your memory is not clouded by a bunch of foolishness, be it alcohol or whatever. Praise God. He said, first of all, we ought to be sober. Then he said, be vigilant. In other words, we need to be watching, praise God, about the things that's going on around us. The reason why he tells us to be sober and he tells us to be vigilant, praise God, he gives the answer. He said, because your adversary, that word adversary means that your enemy, that's somebody that don't mean no good for you. Praise God. He said your adversary, and then he identifies the adversary. Praise God. He said your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Praise God. He's not the lion of the tribe of Judah, but he is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We have to beware. Praise God of the deceitfulness, the snares of the devil. How many of y'all have ever watched some of these animal kingdom shows like I love? And y'all watch them wildebeest out there. Y'all watch those poor little lamb and those little small antelope. And you got that big old ferocious lion. He comes around. And he'll make a grumble. And those wildebeest and those antelope who are being vigilant, they sober. They say, I heard a grumble. I heard something that's not good for me. And they get off and what? But then you get that one that's weak.
Yes, that's right, Pastor.
Not paying attention.
That's right, Pastor.
Not even looking at his surroundings. Not even looking at the other wildebeest taking off and running.
Yeah.
And before you know it, that lion. You got him. And that's the way Satan wants to do to us. That's what Satan.
I
looked at that video and I said, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Oh, Lord. As a roaring lion seeking to devour you. And he doesn't care what your reputation is. He don't care if you're a deacon in the church. He don't care if you're a preacher in the church. He don't care if you're the president of the choir. He don't care if you're the minister of music. He's looking for somebody to devour.
Right, Pastor. Mess him up.
To mess you up.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? That when that reputation is messed up, it takes a hard time.
Yeah.
Long.
Yeah, glory to God.
To get that reputation.
Yes,
back.
It is. Thank you, Lord.
To the devil. So we have to beware.
Yeah.
Praise God. If we want to live. Amen. Better lives.
Yes,
2024. But I got to give one more that we have to be aware of. I've talked about being aware of deception of men.
Yes.
I've talked about being aware of the devil. But you want to know something? We need to be aware of ourselves.
Come on. Come on.
You go to the 12th chapter and you go home. I want you to go home and read the 12th chapter of the book of Luke. Jesus was teaching when he was confronted by a brother who asked Jesus to speak to his brother about dividing the inheritance. Oh, y'all go back and read it. You have to read it now. It's there. Trust me, it's there. And when Jesus answered, he didn't just answer the brother who asked the question. He spoke to both of them. And look at the words. I'm at Luke 12, 15. Look what he said. Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness. And that word covetousness just means greedy. Wanting everything that you got have your eyes on. He says, praise God, look at it. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. In other words, he's telling you, don't get caught up. Don't get caught up in wanting, praise God, a whole lot of stuff. If I can just paraphrase it. Praise God. without first. Having a relationship with Jesus. Because you want to know something? Matthew wrote Jesus' words at Matthew 6:33. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And guess what? He said, if you seek, that's somebody that's got their priorities in line. He said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, guess what he said? Man, I'm going to add it all to you. Amen. If you want it, praise God, you have put me first. And putting him first means that you're serving him. Putting him first means that you're giving unto him. Putting him first means that you're going to look out for the welfare of those other brothers and sisters who are in need. And he's saying that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, guess what? He'll add every bit of toy that you want. Amen. How many of y'all, I got to say this, man. I laughed sometime. I was in North Carolina. I was sitting there and I said, Lord have mercy. Man, I walk around my house, Reverend Philip. And I said, now what in the world can I spend any money on? Anybody else like that? You look around. And you saying, gee whiz. If it wasn't just for everyday food, praise God, don't need no suit, don't need no shoes, don't need no this, don't need no that, don't need, because God has already, he's already supplied all of that stuff. Because I have seeked him first. Praise God. So he tells us that we have to beware. We have to beware. Of ourselves. Amen. And then stop all this old craziness that was only on Flip Wilson. Talking about the devil made you do it. Devil ain't make you do nothing. Anybody here believe that the devil, let me rephrase that. Is there any believer in here today that believe that the devil can make you do something? No. First John tells us that greater is he that is in thee than he that is in this world. And don't come talking to us that way. You know, the devil, I didn't want to go, but the devil put it on me so hard I had to go. No, don't lie. You wanted to do that. So you have to beware of yourself. God, you know, don't y'all know God tied some of y'all lying on the devil? Not the devil made me do that. No, ain't nobody devil made you do that. You did it because you wanted to do it. Praise God. Because if you telling me that the devil made you do something, then you got to go back and check yourself. If you have received the Spirit of God on the inside of you, that's why John could write, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Oh, I know the devil is out in this world, but guess what? There ain't a thing that the devil can make me do. If I decide to go out here today, Curtis Jr., and drink a fifth of vodka, I'm serious. That ain't because the devil did that.
That's right.
Devil didn't make me go to the door to store and buy that vodka.
That's right, Pastor.
Devil didn't take no time to unscrew that top.
That's right, Pastor.
Devil didn't take no time for me to get a glass and put no ice in it and get some orange juice and then pour it in there. I'm stepping on somebody's toes.
Yeah, Pastor.
The devil didn't make me do that. That's something that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Because all the time, if you got God on the inside of you, all the time that you are going to the store to buy the bottle, pray God, there's a still small voice.
Yes, it is.
Son, now you're a servant of God.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
You shouldn't go in that store.
That's right, Pastor.
Look, I'm gonna tell you how I know about this thing on your shoulder. Yeah. Tell you that. See, you don't know who you're gonna see at that cash register.
Yeah. That's right, Pastor. That's right.
You don't know You don't know who's going to come through that store. They don't want to accept me because I got a college degree. I'm something like that. See, you can't be happy if you're in an environment, praise God, where you don't belong, where you don't feel like you belong. Praise God. But if we want to have a happier new year, praise God, we got to belong. Amen. No man is an island unto himself. Anybody know that? Every last one of us need each other. I can't do it all. You can't do it all. Praise God. We need each other. I'm telling you, man, we need each other. Praise God. We feed off each other. Iron sharpen iron, just like men sharpen men. Praise God. And we should never get that attitude that I have arrived and I don't need nobody and all that stuff. I don't care what school you went to, where you got your degree. I don't care what you have accomplished in life. Praise God. Let me tell you, when it comes down to Christendom and life, God, we need each other.
Yes, Lord.
Oh Lord, when I know Deacon Barque has sat down and talked, praise God, about how he has cried. I know he has cried.
Yes.
Praise God. But guess what?
Yes.
Man, when they were going through, they had a church family that was going through with them. I need not even ask them how many people came over to that house. The people, we belong. They belong to this church. And guess what? We belong to each other. Don't you know that's how we get strength? Amen. And that man, well, you have somebody to pass away in your family, man, and nobody come around you. That ought to say something to you. Oh, man, why in the world the folk ain't coming around to me? Maybe because you have not act like you belong to them. I say that because we all are going to go through some stuff. I much rather go through some stuff with all of you all with me, praying for me. When we was in that air, I felt the church praying for me, praying for my safe travel. I felt that. I'm serious about that. Praise God. I say it's good to have a family of believers, praise God, who could pray and know how to pray. Praise God. And we need to, we need one another. And let me tell you something. We all belong to the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm closing. You see, as believers, we belong to Jesus Christ first. Mark chapter 9, verse 41 says, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward."
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. So we belong to each other. And, and you're talking about giving a brother or sister a drink. Praise God. You can take that a step further. When you see somebody truly in need. Amen. Now you heard what I say. I said in need. I didn't say in greed. I didn't say somebody who gonna take your money, the money that you've worked hard for, ask you to borrow it, and then they go off and do something stupid with it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you see somebody who is truly in need, and you give them something to hand out, and then you don't broadcast that. You just take it and say, "Man, look here. I see you going through something." And you want to know something? The Spirit of the Lord would let you know if a brother or sister is truly going through something.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
That's right,
I'm serious.
Yeah, you will.
Hey, God, you won't even have to come up and ask somebody for some money. Ask them for a handout.
Yeah.
Because we know each other. We belong to the church. We belong to the church of God. We belong to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Praise God. And we know that we belong to him because what? He already told us that he bought us with a price.
Yes, sir.
He brought us with a price.
Yes.
Praise God. And he said that since he bought us for a price, I want you to put this on the marquee. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23. He said, you are bought with a price, but be not ye the servants of men. In other words, what Jesus is telling us, I have paid a big price for you.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Y'all want to know the price that he paid for us? Man, he walked up a hill called Calvary after being beaten like a dog.
Yeah.
And he paid that price.
Yeah.
He bought you. So he's telling you, Don, I done paid all that price for you.
Yeah.
Man, you don't have no time to be no servant of no other man.
Yeah.
You need to follow me.
Yeah.
And the things that I have said, those things that I say, praise God. And not only do we belong to Jesus Christ, we belong to the church.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us that on the day of Pentecost, after the day of Pentecost, after the day of Pentecost, when that initial 120 believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, praise God. And what did Peter do? Peter preached a sermon. I call it the first citywide revival.
Yeah.
Praise God. Peter preached. And the Bible says that 3,000 souls, 3,000, they came.
Yeah.
But look what they were doing. Verse 27, Acts 2, 24. I mean, Acts 2, 47. And look what he says. They were praising God, having favor with all the people. And guess what? The Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
In other words, all them that heard Peter preach the word of God, praise God, they belong now to the church.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
How do I know they belong to the church?
Yeah.
Praise God, if you have done any reading in the history book of the church, Acts chapter 1 and just kick it all the way through, especially all the way through chapter 12, and just keep reading. Praise God. You'll find that those four B's that I talked about are all in there. Praise God. The first thing they continued, they believed in Jesus Christ. Because as you start reading that second chapter, it talks about the fact that they what? They continued daily steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. In other words, they continue, praise God, to teach what Jesus told them to teach. So they believed. In other words, they had faith in God. But not only that, they behaved like Christians. Because not only did they continue in the apostles' doctrine, what did they do? They went from house to house. I'm talking about in the Bible, say they went from house to house, man, and they broke bread together. Amen. And see, and when you house to house, let you know that each one of them had some hospitality. Praise God. And they were able to go from house to house. They broke bread together. Praise God. That scripture even lets us give the connotation that they even participated in the Lord's Supper.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. They, in other words, they behaved themselves, and they were aware of all of their surroundings.
Yes, sir.
They would not allow anything to come in and keep them away from what they were doing.
Yes.
That was a couple who tried. Y'all know who. Y'all know that. Y'all know them two folk, Ananias and Sapphira. Amen. They went, because you know those folk, they were so close. They sold everything that they had. Man, and the Bible said that they had everything in common. And in other words, they were taking care of one another. But then we had, there were two that who was not aware of the snare of the devil. Ananias and Sapphira went out and sold that stuff, and they come in there and lied.
Yeah.
Amen. And y'all know what happened. Just go back and start reading. I think that's around Acts chapter 5.
Yeah.
You keep on reading. So we find out they were not aware, but those other believers were aware of the dangers that sat around them. And they were not going to do anything that was going to forsake their righteousness with their Lord. And then, praise God, they had a feeling that they belonged to the church.
Yeah.
Know how I know they had because the Bible said that he added daily. We talk about the 3,000 that got saved. But let me tell you something. Man, those folks were continuing to talk.
Yes, sir.
Those folks were continuing to tell the story about Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. They weren't ashamed.
Yes.
And the fact that they lived that life before those folk,
yes,
praise God, they probably won more people to Christ just through their living,
yes,
than what they had to say. Amen. You know why? Because those folks saw that their salvation